We're going to be touching on the shining path, okay? And the topics are right there. Hopefully, it will excite you as we look at the different things. I wanted to touch on great words of the Bible, okay? Example, conviction. What does conviction mean? And what is redemption and all that? So, but I thought I'll make it a bit lighter for a Friday night so that we can actually be clearer. And as we come from work and different places, to actually look at the Christian life in general, okay? So today we'll be talking about the two ways in contrast. There are two pathways. All right, let's turn to Proverbs chapter 4. Proverbs chapter 4, okay? We want to encourage interaction, so please feel free to ask questions and all that if you have. Well, Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 to 19, let's stand as we just read these two verses, which is our text. And then we'll be drawing some lessons from this particular two verses. Let's read Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19. Ready? Ready? One, two, go. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble. Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you are the giver of these precious words. And Lord, no human on planet Earth will be able to fully bring out everything, Lord, in a particular passage that you, in your infinite mind, has given to us. But Lord, we are thankful that you have given us an opportunity to at least read for ourselves so as to understand, Lord, what we ourselves need to learn. God, you have given us instruction on every issue of life. And today, as we begin to explore the two paths, help us as young people, as young adults, as older folks, to Lord, to begin to understand. And some of us will just be a revision. Some of us, there may be new truth, Lord, that you are showing to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, for a submissive spirit to your word. And God, that the word of God will just be taught clearly, and that your Holy Spirit take these words and impress in our hearts and assure us that we might believe who you are. Thank you, Lord. Help us to walk in the path that is right. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Okay. To begin with, I just want to say that God wants to impress His word in our hearts. Would you agree with that? God wants to impress His word in our hearts. And one of the things as we communicate, as we talk with one another, next time when in church or whoever, just stop and watch how people interact, how people talk, okay? Have you seen people, there'll be this person talking, but the other person is just doing this. You've seen that before, maybe a friend is just talking to him, and someone just doing this, Or there may be other people who, when they talk, they really seriously look at one another. Okay? Or when sometimes when you talk to someone, you will talk, the person may look at you, but he's not there. Okay? But you know, God is so concerned that the Word of God penetrate us, that He will use different ways to try to reach us. Okay? He can use direct instructions. He used history. Sometimes he used some people, I think some of us enjoy stories. So maybe God gives us stories as we read the Old Testament. We're more excited about what's happening. Or sometimes God will give us songs, you know, the book of Psalms. Some people like to read Psalms because it's always an encouragement to them. Some people like prophecy. Well, it encourages them in a Christian faith. And sometimes God used Proverbs as well. Okay, and today we're going to look at that. God used Proverbs. Okay, and looking at Proverbs 4, verse 18 and 19. Solomon contrasts two pathways that every Christian will find themselves in. Okay, every Christian. In verse 18, the path of the just. The path of the just. The word just has the idea of a person who follows after God. A person whose heart has been following God. A righteous man. Okay? Now, sometimes the just in the Old Testament oftentimes may not fully have the idea of the just in the New Testament. But we can generally know a just person can be equal to a Christian. Generally, okay? Except that in the Old Testament, The just can become unjust very quickly when they start sinning against God. All right? Because in the Old Testament, faith in Christ, faith in God, is still the prerequisite for salvation. However, when the person actually stops believing and changes path, his heart is no longer with God. Kind of like King Saul. God actually had to judge him because of his sin. Okay, so, but just in general refers to a Christian. Okay, in general. The path of the Christian, path of a just, is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto a perfect day. What does this mean? As you read this verse, maybe we have some discussion. What do you think this verse means? The path of the just is as path of a just is as a shining light that shineth more and more unto the perfect day. What does it mean? Anyone? Sorry? Person's behavior, what do you mean? Okay, okay. So yeah, you can refer, but why the path of a just is like a shining light that shining more and more and more and more. What was the idea, you think? Anyone? I'm sure you read this verse before, right? Any thoughts of okay, the idea here? Anyone else? I'm trying to encourage people to talk, so I'm holding on a bit. Okay, basically, remember in the morning, for example, in the morning you see a little sun coming up from the distance, maybe. Okay? And then as the sun arises from the horizon, you see the nice little face coming out. But the whole land is still dark. Yes? And sometimes you may still have to. I know last time, if I'm not wrong, Sister Joyce and Brother Mike always like to wake up very early in the morning and go and see sunrise. Go east, go see sunrise. Then we're still. But they go, okay? But it's dark, right? But as the sun begins to shine, more and more light comes to the. Right? More and more light will come onto the horizon, the area, until the entire place is lighted up and the sun is right on. In the sky. Okay? Now the encouraging thing is as a Christian, you realize, you know, the blessing is this: the more we follow Christ, as we grow, our life actually becomes more and more and more, wrong English, becomes brighter and brighter and brighter. It cannot be more brighter, right? Can I encourage you by saying this? As a Christian, when you walk with God, the life should actually be brighter. Your light for Christ should actually become brighter and brighter. Okay, your future should actually get more encouraging. Yeah, there will be trials and temptations. But like as a sun that will grow, or not grow, a sun that will shine more and more, your life should actually be shining more. The way of the righteous is clear and brightly lighted. It becomes even more so with the advance of time. Can I just repeat this again? This is very important. The way of a righteous man, the way of a Christian, is clear and brightly lighted. Would you agree with that? As a Christian, we have the Word of God that shines. But you know what? As you grow older, it should even be brighter with the advance of time. And that's important. In other words, the older you are as a Christian, you need to be more mature. You need to be more sure of God's will. You need to be more sure of what God is wanting you to do. All right? Some of you will know, I think most of you will know Dr. Ron Comfort. Okay, he's about 70s now, and I think he can say, because he's in the 70s, he says, I'm too near the finishing line to give up now. All right, he's very clear. He is still preaching different churches, but because of his age, he's a bit slowed down already. But you know what? He's still preaching. He's still going forward. He's still, and he knows that. He knows exactly. He wants to stand before Christ as a faithful servant at the end when Jesus Christ judged him. Okay? So, the path of the just is as a shining light that shines more and more to the perfect day. But then in verse 19, the way of the wicked is as darkness. The Old Testament always contrasts the just and the wicked. The just man is someone who do right and follow God, like Samuel, like Joshua and Moses, they follow. But then the wicked man is like who? Ahab, perhaps, Jezebel. It's clear distinction, okay? So, righteousness is always associated with light, but wickedness is routinely associated with darkness. In John 3:19, you don't have to turn there, but you can jot down. The Bible says men love darkness rather than light. Most of the sinful deeds are committed in the dark. Do you agree? Thieving, robbery, and all kinds of sin is oftentimes done in the dark. Moreover, whereas the righteous have a clearly lighted path, and this is what the wicked stumble through life. The wicked stumble through life. There was one time when I was in army training, and one of the things that I cannot stand is darkness, especially in the jungle. There was one time we were walking through jungle is just because they don't have any headlamps, just walking very, very dark. And then as we were walking, and all of a sudden I just had the urge to shine my torchlight. It's too long without the light. So when I shine, and thank God I shone the torchlight, you know what? Right in front of me was this giant spider web. And one giant spider the size of my hand. And if I walk through, And you know what? In the army, especially when you walk through the jungle in the dark, people will stumble and fall. You must be very careful. A wicked man who doesn't have God in his life stumbles through life. Okay? These are the two paths that Solomon is actually talking about. From God's standpoint, there are only two classes of people in this world. Okay? You can start writing down if you want. There are two classes of people as far as God is concerned. The righteous and the wicked. The righteous are those who are right with God, and the wicked are those who are wrong with God. It is the saved and the lost. The believers and the non-believers. The children of God, the children of wrath. And then so, there's this pastor, I said, to which class we belong. I'm going to highlight four things, okay, about these two paths that we have. Firstly, the righteous are always in the minority. The wicked always in the majority. Christians, we have to realize that we are always the minority. Always. Like it or not, we are always the minority. The wicked in the majority. Okay? But I need to clarify this because some people may feel they're in the minority, but they think they're right. So, there was a little child who was asked to sit by himself because he was not obeying the parents to sit down and eat his lunch properly. And so as he was placed in a corner to eat his lunch, he said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." So this little child wasn't obeying, okay, at the lunch. And the father said, "No, you sit that right there." And this son said, "Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies." Did you get that? All right, so he was basically using a scripture out of context to support his wrongdoing. But you know, as a Christian, we need to understand we will always be in the minority. We will always be in the minority to do. Our key verse today in Proverbs chapter 4:18 talks about the path of the righteous and the way of the wicked. There is a difference between a little winding path and a broad highway. Would you agree? Little winding path and a broad highway. All right? You realize some of the righteous who are in the minority in the Old Testament, Noah, for example, Noah was the only righteous man. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 6, in the whole world, only righteous man. Elijah had to stand before the entire kingdom of Israel, all right, when it comes to sin. Then, of course, it was the Lord Jesus Christ who was crucified because of the people who went against him. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 7, 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. Matthew chapter 7, verse 13 and 14. The righteous are always in the minority. The wicked are in the majority. Matthew 7:13, Jesus, talking about salvation, actually mentioned, "Enter ye in at the straight gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be which go in thereat. Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life. And few there be that find it." The Lord Jesus Christ, when he said this, he was very, very serious because many people are following the broad way to destruction. Okay? But Jesus says there's a narrow way, a straight way that leads to life. Now, what does it mean to be in the narrow way? You need to understand that, the straight and narrow way. The straight and narrow way during the time of Jerusalem means the difficult paths around Jerusalem, okay? That sometimes when the pilgrims, when they go to Jerusalem, or some of the mountain paths, they are very treacherous, okay? Sometimes the width of the some of these ways is about this width. And so they actually have to walk through, and they have to be very careful as they walk, because otherwise they will fall off. When Jesus says straight and narrow is the way that leads us to life, he means that straight. Not straight as in straight, but straight as in difficult. Straight as in there are many difficulties you will face. The road is tough. The road is long. The road has obstacles. And in the Jerusalem time, the road also has the robbers and thieves. There will be hindrances to your progress in the Christian life. There will be hindrances. There will be personal hindrances, our own sinful self, and there will also be external hindrances that stops our progress. But you know, many people, because of the progress, will stop being a Christian. They switch from the narrow to the broad way. If that's the Christian life, I don't want that. I'm getting out. Okay? But Jesus says that there will be many people who will be found on the broad way that leads to destruction. But for the narrow way, only those people who would trust God to press forward will lead to life. Okay? The broad way is an easy, convenient road, the way of least resistance. Let me ask you a question based on what I've just mentioned. Which way is humanly easier? The broad way? Humanly easier. The broad way? Or the narrow way? Which way is easier humanly? Sorry? The broad way, right? Broad way, right? Okay. Which way is easier biblically? Right? Okay, the question is, humanly, the broad way is easier, right? Biblically, which way is easier? Okay, so people say the narrow way, right? But which Bible reference can you support that? Sorry? Anyone? Which verse comes to your mind that says the narrow way is actually the easier way? Anyone? Here's then to Matthew chapter 11. Okay, let me just read. Let's read together, 28 to 30. All right, Matthew 11, 28 to 30, ready? One, two, go. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. How many of you would actually say the yoke of Christ is easy? That you being a Christian, you have it easy. But you know what Jesus said? The yoke is always a burden on an animal. But Jesus says, my yoke is easy. Take my yoke upon you. What does Jesus mean? Remember when Jesus was mentioning this, he was talking about an Eastern yoke. We actually have two parts. Okay? The Lord Jesus takes one part. As a Christian, we need to take the other part, the yoke of obedience. So when Jesus goes this way, his word tells us to go this way. The easy part is we just follow. Because you know why? He bears most of the burden anyway. Right? Okay, for Sunday school teachers and those people, can I say your yoke is easy because you have Jesus carrying your yoke with you as you teach the children? As parents, yeah, we have the burden of our family, but you know what? Jesus holds that yoke as you follow him in his principles of how to bring up the family. Because why? His yoke is easy. We feel very stressed because I don't know what to do, I don't know what to do. But he said, Jesus, follow what I do. Just follow what I say. Okay? So, now the second question, so we talk about easier. Which way is humanly harder? The narrow way, right? I think it's humanly harder to walk the Christian life. In fact, many people, after they become a Christian, they are filled with joy, they're on fire for God, and then problems come, and then they got stumbled. Okay? And I want all of us to be praying for Brother Henry, who has such a love for God's word. I think for those who came in, I just want to share this was a blessing he shared with me as he was having lunch and all that. He said, "Pastor, too little feeding." I said, "What do you mean? Got a lot of food?" I said, "No, too little feeding. I don't have enough of God's word." And we had two messages that day. He said, "Not enough." You know? And he said, "No Chinese later on." I said, "No. We wanted more feeding." And it was a blessing. But you know, I told him already, and I want us to pray. As he is so joyful, you know what's going to happen? He can trip as a young Christian. That's why we need to pray. We need to encourage him. Okay? But coming back to humanly is harder, the narrow way. But which way is biblically harder? Which way is biblically harder? Broadway, right? But is there a passage that we can say the Bible actually mentions that the broad way is the harder way? Let's turn to Proverbs 13:15. I know some of you are thinking, but let me give you that. Proverbs 13:15. So as you share with people, sometimes, I think the Christian life is lousy. You can actually show them these two verses. Or the Christian life is always the hard way. Then you can show them the Christian life is the easy way, Matthew 11. And you say, "No, I'm walking the Christian, I think I'm living for the world is easier, now living like the world is easier." This verse, Proverbs 13, verse 15, let's read together. Ready? 1, 2, go. "Good understanding giveth favor, but the way of transgressors is hard." Does that make sense? You will never get an easy life if you follow the world. Never. Or you may be cool initially, but after a while you get entangled in the world. You find it very hard to get out. The way of transgressors is hard. That's what the Bible says. That's what Solomon says. And it is what, as Christians, we need to be very clear. When we walk the narrow way, it's actually the easy way. But when we walk the broad way, it's actually the hard way. All right? So, any questions? So, which way should we choose? Choose Christ. All right? Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Right? So firstly, the righteous are in the minority, and the wicked is in the majority. Number one. Number two, the righteous are in the light, the wicked are in darkness. Okay, the Bible is very clear. The path of the righteous is as a shining light. This should be the experience of every Christian. Your life should be lighted up with God's word. Everything you do, everywhere you go, every decision you make, need to be very, as clear as day, because God is the one who leads you. Okay? So, it needs to be the Christian of life of every born-again Christian. When a Christian lives for the Lord, he's not only living for the light, he's also giving the light to others. Does it make sense? Matthew 5:16, anyone can quote that? Matthew 5:16? "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Philippians 2:15. Let's turn there. Okay, this one is a bit longer. It's almost the same. But Philippians 2:15. Okay. Let's read Philippians 2:15 together. Ready? 1, 2, go. "That ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world." Okay? Paul made it very clear to the Philippian Christian in verse 14, "Do all things without complaining and fighting." Don't complain. Don't fight. That's what he says in verse 14. "Do all things without complaining and fighting, so that you can be blameless and harmless, the sons of God will God rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation." So as we walk the narrow pathway, it is not the path of least resistance. In fact, the most resistance. People are going to step on you. They're going to be unkind to you. But as you walk the kind way, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Christians, when you walk in the light, you might be the only light that place have, spiritual light, that will point them somehow to the Savior, okay? But those people who are in darkness, the Bible says, 2 Corinthians 4:4, Satan has blinded the minds of them that believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine unto them. It is interesting that non-believers don't understand the light of Christ. They don't understand that Jesus loves them. They don't understand sin. They don't understand, why should I be a Christian? But for us who has been enlightened, we accept Christ. Why? Because we know we're sinners and we're on our way to heaven because of what Jesus has done. Did you realize if God don't shine the light into our hearts, we will still be in darkness? Okay? Question for us. Is it possible that some Christians still live in darkness? Is it possible some Christians still live practically in darkness? How? How? Sorry? Not obeying His word. Okay, that's one thing. What else? When you don't obey His word, what happens? God shines a light at a particular place. Say, no, I don't want the light. I go somewhere else. Okay? In our house, in our service balcony, there's this. We have a washing machine. I think it's all standard in all washing. You actually have the washing machine there. You know, I think they have this place for washing machine. And then there's this little spout that sticks out. I didn't know for many years what that spout is for, and I didn't bother to ask. So what I did was, you know, the washing machine, there's water go in, the water go out, right? So I plunk the, you know, the hose that bring the water, I push it inside the, you know, there's the drainer at the end, right? So I put it in. So I thought it was wise. I mean, it's okay, the water go in. Then my friend one day, he was no Peter Chang, came, hey, Rajoni, how come you never put the thing there? Put what there? Put inside what there? The water go inside the drain? Oh? No lah, this thing sticking out is for you to put your washing machine, the hose, so that the water will just go straight in. Oh, really? And I put it, oh yeah, for many years, we were sticking the water hose directly in the drain when there was something provided for us already. Very funny. Similarly with our water heater, those of you who know the story, we lived without water heater in our common toilet for 7 years. 7 years, okay? And because the person that installed the water heater, I think he cracked something, so he didn't tell us. So for 7 years, hey, how come? We thought the water heater spoiled, so never mind, I just wait for water. Until another plumber came, hey, how come you don't, how come the water, hey, how come the wire is joined wrongly? Actually, if you just stop and look, the water that comes from the tap needs to go inside the water heater, right? The water heating element, right? Then it comes out, right? It's fine. The water wasn't joined to the... That's why there's no water heater. We lived for it for 7 years. Why is it so funny? Not myself. How many Christians will live 7 years without the Holy Spirit of God's power in their life? Simply because they don't just stop and check. How many of us will live like me, Gundu, when God, there's a spout provided for you to put the water in and put it somewhere else. And sometimes when you know you accidentally kick, the water will go over the service balcony. How many Christians will live without the provisions of God when God says, I already provided for you? Remember the grace of God I talked about? Christians, some Christians are without the light of Christ because when God provides that grace, we refuse it. And that's why many Christians live defeated, tormented lives. Tormented lives. So, Christians, the righteous are in the light. Make use of the light. If you don't know where to find the light, ask someone. I'm sure their brethren, Rod Taylor, and some of the other men of the church, I'm sure they'll be able to find out very quickly. Okay? The righteous are in the light. Christians, don't stay in the darkness anymore. You don't have to. Okay? Point number three. The path of the righteous gets brighter. The way of the wicked actually gets darker. In the contrast between Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, the path of the righteous gets brighter, the way of the wicked gets darker. The path of the righteous is at the gleam of dawn. I just read what I have. First gleam of dawn, shining ever brighter and brighter and brighter. Like the sun that shines in the dawn, and then as it continues at 7 a.m., and then 8 a.m., and then 9 a.m., as the sun goes up high, the light of a Christian's life ought to be shining brighter, brighter as you grow. As we grow older as Christians, do you realize we are more at peace with God? We are more aware of what God wants us to do. Our character change from should change from 1 year to the next. People should be consulting us with regards to spiritual things because they see the wisdom and the Holy Spirit's control. That's what the Bible verse has application. As a Christian, as you live more and more with the Lord Jesus, your life actually becomes brighter and brighter. Though the inward man, outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. That's why Paul was stronger as a Christian when he was about to die than he was when he first got saved. We need to grow. Christians, there's no end to growing. Okay? The moment we stop growing, there's something wrong. The moment we stop growing, there's something wrong. We need to check what's that problem. Okay? So the path should actually get brighter and brighter. But the non-believer will stumble through life hoping for the best. You know, Christians, some of you may think, wow, you know, non-Christians have it good, man. They have Gangnam la and all that la and you know, just don't know what la. And now they, I just read yesterday, I think, the nightlife have just started a association to represent their interests. Okay, the nightlife business, you know, all the different nightclubs, now they come together to have this association to represent. But you know what? God says that those people who do not have God in their lives will stumble through life. Christians, God wants us to experience the shining ever brighter to the full light of day. That means God wants every Christian every year to grow in a certain area. It could be an overcoming of a bad habit. It could be more faithful in the Bible reading. It could be more diligent in prayer. It could be wiser in making decisions. It could be wiser in how to interact with people so that you may lead someone to Christ. It could be stronger family ties. It could be more fervent in soul winning. It could be more tears in your heart because someone else, or you're more aware that someone else needs Christ. You know, there are a lot of tears as we, Brother Jeremiah was sharing with me how as he was doing the Lamb's class and to know that some of the children in the class are going through bad family situations. And he's like, what in the world is the Church of Jesus Christ doing to minister to those? And so, more heart for this world. Less for ourselves. As a Christian, we need to grow. Okay? So, in Psalms 37, verse 23, 24, let's turn there. The path of the righteous gets brighter. We need to grow more. We need to let God's work get in us more as we grow. The path of the righteous needs to get brighter, but the way of the wicked gets darker. But Psalm 37, 23, Brother Johnny, is it sometimes, you know, we do stumble? Yes, we do. But what does the Bible say? Let's read together. This is an encouraging one. 23 and 24, Psalm 37. Ready? 1, 2, go. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. No Christian will fall finally. No Christian will fall. Completely. When Jeremiah was about 2-3 years old, we had this lady who wasn't very intellectually strong. And so Jeremiah was 2-3 years old and I was holding his hand, thank God. And she was a bit older and she wanted to hold Jeremiah's hand and bring him down. But she forgot that Jeremiah's legs were shorter than hers. So she was, come Jeremiah, and she was just going down like that. And Jeremiah was like, whoop, whoop, and then I pull Jeremiah back. Otherwise his nose would have been flattened because our old place in Yishun, the flight of stairs is like about 15 of them. And so this person was just trying to drag Jeremiah down, but you know, as he's dead, I pull him back. Why? Otherwise, he'll fall. Do you realize God does that with all of us? Do you realize God does that with all of us? As a Christian, we have the comfort of knowing as we go through life trusting God, yes, we will fall, but God says you will not be utterly cast down. The word utterly means completely cast down. We will not be completely cast down. Because why? God upholds us with his hand. Peter sunk into the water, Jesus reached out straight away. It's a blessing, isn't it? Sometimes we feel that we are tripped and fall and we stumble, but you know what? God says, I will not allow my children to be utterly cast down. And this is something that we have to thank God for. So the point of this is, Christians, is our life getting brighter? Are we getting brighter? Is there more control over ourselves? More doubt given to others? Are we able to live the life of Christ more? Okay, for last point. The righteous have a glorious prospect. The wicked have a terrible prospect. It's a simple one. Because if you look at Proverbs chapter 4, verse 18 and 19, the Bible says, the path of the just is a shining light that shineth more and more into a perfect day. There will be one day that's perfect for all of us. Amen? One day we'll be in heaven. One day there will be no... having this pain in my gums now. I don't know whether it's infected or not. I'm trying to dig out everything. It's a lot of blood. But I don't know. But thank God one day I don't have to fight with that. Amen? Some of you also have. Thank God, brother. For Brother Robert, thank God it's not a fracture. Amen? But thank God, next time if you even fall in heaven, there'll be no fractures. No, maybe we won't fall in heaven, will we? You think we'll fall in heaven? Oh, no. But you know, God says the prospect of a Christian is glorious. Let's turn to John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. How many know what that passage is about? John chapter 14, verse 2 and 3. Anyone knows what the passage is about? Sorry? That's 15. 14, verse 14. When Jesus talks about, in my Father's house are many mansions. Let's read verse 2 and 3. Or maybe 1, 2, and 3, all right? As an encouragement to ourselves, what Jesus promised us. Ready? Verse 1, 2, and 3. John chapter 14. Ready? 1, 2, go. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. God gave us the promise of a better place. And Christians, we do have a better prospect. And one of the things is, you know, as you are preparing for your... Let's say, your boss promised you a 5-year vacation package in any place that you would choose on planet Earth or beyond. How would you prepare yourself for that? Or how would anyone prepare? 5 years vacation package, all expenses paid, all food meals provided for, accommodation covered, you just have to charge it to one card and the company will take care of that. How would you prepare for that? 5 years. I know it's fantasy. But how will you prepare for that? What would be some of the things that you would do? Go and enjoy the 5 years. But in terms of preparation, I know. Okay, travel light. Anyone else? How are you prepared for that? Okay, let's say you still got work to do though. No, I mean, before you go, you have to finish up your work. Maybe handover, that kind of thing, right? Handover properly, like, do it properly, you know, make sure. And all the little things, don't worry about that. I'm going on a 5-year vacation, man. You guys can
do what you want. I mean, okay, anyway, okay, I'll even work overtime just to finish up everything. My attitude will be such that, hey, I'm looking forward to the 5-year vacation. Right? I'm just going to get things done, and yeah, it may be hard. I'll just finish whatever I need to finish. I'm going off on the 5-year vacation. Christians, we're going forward to an eternal vacation. Amen. One of these days, we are going to be sitting. We will be working in heaven. We're going to have new bodies. The prospect of a Christian as they begin to live for God. Yeah, the trials of life, you know, for a person looking forward to a 5-year vacation, so what if boss give you one additional assignment? Yeah, okay, never mind. Let's do it, man. I'm going on a 5-year vacation. That's okay. The trials of life is okay. I'm going on a eternal vacation. And so, you know what? That was what Jesus told the disciples, you know, because Jesus was going to go to be crucified. He has just told them, guys, I'm going to leave you. I've been 3.5 years with you. I'm going to the cross. And their hearts were all very heavy. And so, in verse 1 of John 14, don't let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be anxious. You believe in God, Mary? Believe also in me. Trust me with all your heart. You know what? The prospect of heaven in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. It's interesting that God, Jesus, started with the prospect of heaven. Before he told them, you guys are going to have tribulation. Did you know that? John chapter 14, 15, 16 is the final message Jesus gave to the disciples. But he started off with the prospect, hey, you guys are going to heaven with me. I'm preparing a place already. Then after that, he began to say, when you preach, people are going to go against you. Ye are not of this world. And of course, this world is not going to love you. But you know what Jesus already said? Your prospect is great. Your prospect is great. On the other hand, the prospect of those in darkness, in wickedness, in Matthew 8:12, I just read, but the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. They shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. They shall be weeping. So the contrast is given. As a Christian, we have the prospect of heaven, but those who do not have Christ have the prospect of an eternity in hell. That's scary. Christian, as much as we have the prospect of heaven, we need to be praying that God will help us to reach those who do not have that prospect. And this is something that our hearts need to break because someone is on the way to hell. I'm thankful that my brother-in-law came, my mother-in-law came. I'm thankful that some of the non-believers came, even for our anniversary. But you know, it's not enough that they just came. We need to tell them. We need to actually reach them with the gospel of Christ. Christians, one day we will stand before Christ. Will our lives reflect the light of Christ as we stand before Jesus at the judgment seat? Or would Christ have to say, hey, Johnny, why is there so many patches of darkness in your life? I thought you were the children of light. Huh? I gave you my light. What happened? Would I be able to stand before Christ for my own life and say, Lord, as much as I know, I've tried to be a light for you. Okay? Let's turn to Matthew 6. Matthew 6. How to make sure that Christ's light is totally in us. Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6 and verse number... Verse 23, how do we ensure that we have the light? This is the problem with many Christians, or this is an issue or challenge for many Christians. In verse 23, verse 22, the light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall be full of light. But if thine eye be evil, thy whole body shall be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in thee be darkness, how great is the darkness? What does this verse mean? The light of the body is the eye. If therefore thine eye be single, thy whole body shall... What does this verse mean, anyone? Maybe just contribute some thoughts. What does this mean? The light of the body is the eye. What does it mean, anyone? Michelle, what does it mean? The light of the body is the eye.
The Bible says the light of the body is the eye. I just give you a simple illustration. If I have two holes here in my body, okay, and it's single. Single means it has one focus. When the light comes in, it's very clear inside of my body. Anything that comes in with a focus, the reception is clear inside. Thy whole body shall be full of light. Does that make sense? But if thine eye be evil, the word evil means slightly out of the way. If the hole, let's say like this, you try to drive like this? Oh, my eyes are very painful. Eh? You try? Why don't you try? Is that German? Why don't you try? And see. See how. Try it for yourself. Very painful. When the light comes in at a distorted angle, and inside you will feel pain. I literally, y'all can try at home. They usually say don't try this at home, but you can try this good. When you do this, the light that comes in is actually pain because your retina is struggling very hard to make sense of that. And you actually have pain. I'm getting some eye pain just because of that. So the body says, if the light be evil, perverted, then your whole body shall be full of darkness. If the light is indeed be darkness, if the only light you have is darkness, then how great is the darkness? So what does Jesus propose in verse 24? No man can serve two masters. No one can serve two masters. It's either you will hate the one and love the other, or else you will hold on to the one despised. You cannot serve God and mammon. In other words, we have to make a choice to make sure that our focus is on Christ. Is it any wonder that Paul, consistent with the teaching of Jesus, says what? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. I press on towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God. There's only one focus in Paul's life. And that's why his life was so filled with power, so filled with light. And so his life was just a path of shining light, attracting thousands literally to Christ. Is it possible for us as well to live that kind of life? So Jesus actually proposed, if your eye is not single, but like this, try it, you'll find that you're going to have pain and you won't be able to live your life the way Jesus wants us to live. All right, as we close, I'll just give you one last thought. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Okay, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Talking about the two paths. This is what Paul tells us. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 5 to 8. Let me just read the exaltation of our dear apostle Paul. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 5, he says, ye are all the children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the light nor of the darkness. You are not of darkness. If you are a Christian, you don't belong in the dark. You don't belong to the night. You are children of light. Verse 6, therefore, let us not sleep as do others. The word sleep means don't be lethargic as a Christian. Don't be sleepy as a Christian. Don't be neglectful as a Christian. Don't be negligent of your duty as a Christian. Let us therefore not sleep, but let us watch. Be alert. Be diligent. Be sober. The word sober means being in the right mind. Understanding truth from God's perspective. You are no longer of the night. Paul says, be watchful and be sober. Verse 7, because they that sleep in the night. Right? Do you realize if I switch off the light, or it is a natural thing for your brain to say, oh, the night is dim. It's time to sleep. Okay? That's why you realize in Kopitiam, those 24 hours one is really very bright. Because you will very easily fall asleep. The Bible says, they that sleep are asleep in the night. And they that be drunken are drunken in the night. Those that live in sin and debauchery and living for themselves. But verse 8, but let us, Paul, this is a command, let us who are of the day be sober. Be sober. Be alert. As a soldier who is sent out as a watchman. There was one time I remember I was supposed to do that. And so my rifle was like this. I was so tired after trench digging. When my instructor was in front, I said, Johnny, I turn back. Because I was so tired, I didn't know the orientation.
The soldier, my instructor, was just in front of that because I was doing this already.
And my instructor, Johnny, I was looking back because I was confused. I was tired. You know what God says? Don't be tired. I suppose in peacetime training, there's no threat of your life. You will probably fall asleep. But when there's a threat of your life, the adrenaline runs high, you will not sleep. But Christian, do you realize the threat of satanic attack is constant? And that's all it takes for Satan to destroy. And we must be constantly vigilant over our own lives and over our brethren's lives as well. Okay, God says, be sober, verse 8. Let us be sober. What do we do? Putting on the breastplate of faith and love. This is slightly different from Ephesians 6 with the armor of God. But Paul has the idea. Putting on the breastplate means a covering, a protection. The breastplate oftentimes protects here two things of faith. Put on the breastplate of faith. The word faith has the idea of full of trust and confidence in God. And then full of love. Love for God, love for brethren, and love for the world. Put on the breastplate of faith and love, and then helmet, the hope of salvation. The helmet represents the belief in the mind and the mindset we should have that one day we will see Jesus, the hope of our salvation. Okay? And so, as we look at the two paths, our question is, have we trusted Christ? I trust we have. Most of us probably have. I know for parents, our children need to be clear on that as well. Our children need to be able to articulate to you salvation. And children, please listen. You will not get to heaven based on what your father or mother believe. You only get to heaven based on what you believe in Jesus. Did you understand that? And as your dad and mom teaches you about Christ, listen carefully to them. It's so important. The sad thing, many Christians will die and go to hell. Oh, sorry, die and go to hell. Many children of Christians die and go to hell simply because they were not attentive. And parents do all we can to nurture and love them. And discipline them if we must, so that they will see that there's a consequence of sin. But you know, there's love in Christ. So children, please pay attention to that, okay? Let's walk, as Christians, in the path. And maybe we can have an indicator that tells us, Lord, of the end of 2013, I want to grow in a certain way. The certain weaknesses in my life, Lord, I commit to you. I want to grow. I want to get past that. And 2014, Lord, is a new challenge. 2015 is a new challenge. Because as we grow closer to heaven, our life needs to be clearer and clearer. All right? Any questions? Any questions? You want to have a word of prayer, right? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this simple time of being in your word. Lord, I pray that it will help us to be very clear where we should stand. Lord, as we understand some passages of scripture tonight, I thank you that your word is always a lamp to our feet and light to our paths. Lord, if there is something someone needs, I pray that you will open the person's heart to your word. Oh God, that if there's a nagging feeling about some issues that between you and them they have to deal with, I pray you help their lights to be more focused. So Father, I commit ourselves into your hands, knowing full well, Lord, that without you we can do nothing. Without your word we will have no light. Without your Holy Spirit assuring us of your love and your precious word, we will have no wisdom in making decisions in our life. Lord, if it's not your Holy Spirit working in our lives, our character will forever not change. If it's not your Holy Spirit as we obey what you say, Lord, our character will remain the same. Lord, we know that your Holy Spirit used the Word of God to impress in our hearts that as we obey you, Lord, voluntarily, that you will change our lives. And so, Lord, as we go through the next 9 sessions of this series on the shining pathway, I pray, Lord, that every Christian will take every single one of this seriously. That tonight we will decide, we will walk on the path. We are already on the path of the shining ones. That God, we will live that life. And we will teach others to do the same. So, Lord, we thank you for what you're going to do. Bless everyone who has taken these words to heart. Pray in Jesus' name.
Amen.